Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings. Welcome to Hour 1.
Greetings and welcome to Thursday's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, Dunamis of Acts, Part 9, Preaching and Persecuted on Battle Lines. It goes on today, the act of preaching or teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the persecution associated with it. When the truth arrives, so do those who disagree. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 19th day of April 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 16, starting at verse 1 through chapter 20, verse 27. Amos chapter 9, verses 7 through 15. Ezekiel chapter 20, starting at verse 2 through 20. And also Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. The New Testament portion is Luke chapter 1. No, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 44. Check out the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to the radio shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can also listen from gethealthyyoungliving.com. The latest articles are Sound the Shofar, It's Dangerous Now. The Shofar Used to Warn the People. Announce Holy Days and Special Gatherings is used predominantly in Scripture. We see it as a shofar, a trumpet, and an instrument used to warn or announce. Revelation uses trumpets, and in these days we must sound the shofar. It's dangerous now. Ascendancy of the vilest men shall not prevail forever. America today is overcome with the vilest men, but this shall not prevail. The ascendancy of the vile and corrupt brings with it a connotation in the Hebrew of trembling terror, according to Barnes' notes on this. And occupy till the kingdom comes and be faithful. The Christian occupation. Occupy till I come joins with our being faithful, illustrated by the parable of the 10 minas. Christians can live life and be faithful. There is no shortage of redemptive power for the believer living today. Also, check out our healthy radio show. You can listen from gethealthyyoungliving.com or from the front pages of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. We have three Twitter accounts you can follow us on at hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WarnRadio. Excuse me. Dunamis of Acts, Part 9, Preaching and Persecuted on Battle Lines. In the mirror we behold these things, yet some things we cannot fully see. Here in the middle of it all, when we reach and preach the gospel, persecution follows. Around the world today, we see it, hear it, read about it, and warn radio reports on Christianity around the world. Yet as we begin part 9 of our Dunamis of Acts, we find Paul, Barnabas, and their co-workers going about the Lord's business in the Roman Empire. Here the preaching, teaching, and edification of new believers goes on. Here as well, persecution, beating, imprisonment, and more. The fruits of labor or something else. And now I welcome in the watchman for Battle Lines. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Well, you know, as you were going through all that, it's just amazing how many announcements you're making.
I know.
But we do have a lot of articles. I write a lot. And we do have a book coming out called Incognito. We're right in the middle of editing it. And the other book, Steal the Darkness, is still out there. It's going through a process right now of promotion through another book distributor site and stuff. And so we're doing all this all at the same time. But, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, although there's a lot of threats in the world, you know, Tower, we still have to live.
We do.
And the one thing that I love about the Jews, they love life. And when they get to singing and dancing and everything in their songs, it just has a good ring to it.
Well, that's right. It does.
Every time. If you go back into the Psalms, they do the same thing. And many of our Christian songs come right out of the Psalms. But, you know, the thing of it is of course, Israel began Wednesday night of this last week, that's yesterday, to celebrate their 70 years.
That's really exciting.
As a nation. It was 1948, and 1948 to 2018 is 70 years. Now, see, this comes on the heels of Iran threatening them. Of all kinds of mess in the Middle East, Palestinians, 10,000 of them marching toward the border trying to gain entrance. They have every kind of threat there is.
Yet, it's tragic.
They started celebrating, and I put it on one of our private chats, and it has a bunch of pictures of all these Israelis just rejoicing. And last night, we covered in the news about how many there are. And I can't remember the exact percentage, but a real high percentage of Jews in the world now live in Israel.
I think it was it 43% of the Jewish worldwide Jewish population?
Well, I was thinking in the 40-something. I didn't know that.
I believe it was 43.
Yeah. And that's amazing when you think about it.
Yeah.
But... you know, the thing today is I was looking at this and prompted me wanting to talk about it a little, is that Judah was the last to go into captivity. There was Israel, which was the 10 tribes, and they went into captivity first. And then Judah, where the temple was and the priests and the prophets, went into captivity during the reign of Jeremiah as a prophet. And, of course, Ezekiel was a prophet there, and he was in, you know, on the river Chebar in captivity on the way to Babylon. But at any rate, it was 70 years, though. And that's where Daniel comes in at, that he had figured out that the 70 years was up. And it was Cyrus, king of Persia, a very, very, to this day, he is well known and well respected for the legal system, the laws that he put in to effect. And he is the one, Cyrus of Persia, which is now Iran, they have a big thing dedicated to him in Iran. Even the Ayatollah spoke of Cyrus in regard to the Jews. It's been some time ago. But, you know, so you have Cyrus of Persia, which is now Iran. They were very instrumental in being used of the Lord to get Israel back into the temple, get it built, and live back in the land. Very, very important.
Yeah, that is Amazing.
And now we have Israel 70 years as an independent nation in the modern day world. And at this time, Iran has stepped up to be one of her foremost enemies. And what all this means is when we look at the number 70, which is a perfect number, which is 7 times 10, which is a full number of completion, because you have the five wise virgins and the five foolish. It denotes a spiritual truth, and it denotes totality. And so you take 7, which is we call God's perfect number, and multiply that times the fullness number, and you have 70 years. We also think of 70 as the length of days that you're going to live. So 70 is very, very prophetic. And so it's interesting to note that in Israel's life, Iran or Persia was very, very prominent. The first time to get her back into the land and build the temple, and this time as a threat to try to destroy her. But she's not going to be destroyed by Iran. Matter of fact, with this prophetic implication, God is going to judge the nations, and he's going to judge them down in Israel, outside her borders. And there is going to be a war down there, and Jerusalem will be partially taken. But in the end, the enemy will lose.
Yeah.
According to Zechariah 14. But at any rate, when you're thinking of Israel, though, it is by no mistake that they got a nation back.
That's right.
But when I saw them jumping up and down and rejoicing over that, I thought to myself, you know, Gentile, you know, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
I wish I was, but I'm not. I don't go dancing. You know, I'm serious a lot. 9 times out of 10, I'm way too serious. It's hard for me to relax. I'm just on it all the time. And there are times I relax. I have to relax, of course. But, you know, I mean, here they're surrounded, literally, 57 Muslim nations that Erdogan in Turkey called together to destroy Israel. Now, they all wouldn't go. And then you have Iran, who is threatening in Israel, and also said they're going to make a response. So, you know, and in the middle of all this, you know, they find time to just rejoice. And, you know, it's a people, if, you know, the Jews face a lot of enemies and a lot of people hate them. And, but, you know, you can't deny, you know, that they're in the land. And it's a little piece of land. They don't even have all the land that was given to them. But they were rejoicing, and it does a heart good, especially
yeah.
If you believe in the Lord and you believe that Israel are God's chosen people. Now, of course, when we talk about chosen, there is a new covenant, and so Yahshua and the prophets went to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. With redemption. So this thing isn't over, but it just really is a good thing to watch.
Yeah, it warms your heart, like you said.
It does. So at any rate, I wanted to cover that.
Yeah, that's good. And that's exciting for them.
Well, it is, and
it is exciting for us too as Christians.
Well, it is. It's prophetic for Israel. This 70 years, it's very prophetic, and you can expect something to happen.
Yep.
And the enemies are not going to wait, but in God's timing, is when everything will happen. So, at any rate. You know, we are now counting down. We've only got, after this weekend, you got 1 week left in April.
Oh, I know.
And I'm
hard to believe.
I'm sitting here wondering what happened to April.
What happened to January and February and March? They went zoom by. I'm kind of glad, though, because it's warm weather.
Yeah, well, it's warm, and we that's what we want. We've been through winter, and it's time to plant the gardens, and I've been able to get outside and do more of that, which is how I really relax and just spend time outside, because I'm inside on top of these computers monitoring this. And like yesterday, all day long, I had mainly software problems and things that it has to do with keeping everything updated. And companies like Intel, the stuff that they give you to update with doesn't work. And it's an it's automatic out of Intel, but it screwed things up. So I had a mess yesterday. I had to get everything done. And by God's grace, was able to get it all straightened out. But that's what happens, you know. You just have a lot of this stuff to do. Right now also we're working on this book. I got it all set, so now we're in the process of letting people edit it. And if you're out there and read my other book and would like to preview this one, let me know. If you do preview it, we will probably wait until we get it published, and then I'll send you a link for the Kindle in order to get it to you quick. Because we have people strung all over the place.
Yeah.
And that also means that you need to comment on the book on Amazon. And of course, we do have some other stuff we're working on, but when we get all that wrapped up, we'll be able to tell you more about it. But, we're looking forward to summer and warm weather.
Yes, we are.
And, there's a lot of things happening, and In spite of the wickedness and everything, we have got to live for the Lord, and you can't stop living. And that's part of the challenge of these days. You got to look to the Lord, have tunnel vision, and stay right there.
That's right.
And so shout out to all of our friends around the world. And
yes, we appreciate you guys, all of you. Thank you for listening and all you do.
So at any rate, let's see, what else is going on? Well, I'm not paying much attention to all the political fiasco. I take a look at a headline because I go through my reader, but I don't read the stories.
Oh, you get too bogged down. It's too discouraging. Ugh.
Well, it don't get anywhere. These people beat a subject to death, you know. They just get on it, and they don't want to drop it. The Democrats, they're like, beyond possessed. Actually, the whole of the Democratic Party, as well as Hollywood, need to go to Rome, into the Vatican, have the Pope deliver them from demonic possession, because they're all demoniacs. they're crazy. And of course, that liberal professor came out today and and that wasn't the only thing she said. She said a lot of nasty things, and she wasn't the only one. I actually seen someone else say something.
Yeah, I did too. I think it against Barbara Bush. I think that's wicked and disrespectful. No matter what you think of the woman, it's terrible to say those things.
Well, see, this goes back to to the fact that Preston Bush was kind of hooked up with Hitler money-wise, gave him money and things like that. And so they look at the Bushes as a power clan, like they looked at Clintons and the Kennedys. There's a lot of them that took it even further than that. And I'm not going to give you any names, but they have taken it to the point of a very good conspiracy theory that's been going on for probably 20 years, as long as I can remember. I don't get into that. I stick with the Word of God.
That's right.
You may like conspiracy theories and a lot of other stuff, but it's the Word of God that's going to deliver you.
Amen.
It's the Word of God that's going to encourage you. I just don't go there. I don't even report the news like that. We report the news on the Christian church. That's what we do. And the persecuted, we do some occasional, we do put in some other news that's important. But I'm not going to go over the fodder mill of crud and repeat it on air, because it's not worth repeating.
No, it's just garbage.
It is. It's just pure out and out garbage. And you can look at that and you can get your own fill of garbage without my help. Thank you very much.
Yep, that's for sure.
So we're gonna do those things and tell you about some of the things that matter in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So at any rate, I'm gonna go ahead and do this.
Okay, well, see you on the other side.
Okay, we are in Dunamis of Acts. And it's kind of funny because this thing looks like it, I thought I updated this one thing. But at any rate. And, you know, so good when you look at that. This Acts has just been one of those, it's just a good, fun, exciting, you know, series. And we are in Acts chapter 14. And we're going to go up here, and I'm going to give you a couple of verses where we left off at, so you know about where we're at. And Acts 14:19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And I love this verse, these verses. And the next verse says, howbeit, you know, in other words, no matter what the Jews and the other people who were persuaded, and they stoned Paul and they thought he had been dead, so they threw him outside of the city, and the rest of they went back to their business as if, well, you know, that's okay. Well, in those days it was. Today in America, if you were to stone somebody dead, you'd wind up in jail for murder. But see, in the Roman Empire, they got away with stuff like that. And I like this, howbeit, you know. In other words, in spite of what they thought. And so you have this, in spite of what they thought, howbeit, in spite of what they thought, as the disciples stood round about him. So in spite of what, you know, all these that had stoned Paul and thought that he had been dead, the disciples stood around and was looking at Paul, probably in disbelief that he had been killed. Well, guess what? He rose up and came into the city. Now, he was probably knocked out stone cold. Absolutely. But it wasn't time for him to go. And so he came back into the city. Now, don't ask me where all the Jews. Now, the Jews were from Antioch and Iconium. And so they went back to their places. and left the everyday populace. Now, see, the people themselves wouldn't have done anything if it hadn't been pushed by the Jews. And the Jews, during this time, they were able to instigate a lot of problems against Paul and the apostles, as well as Peter and the others. And so the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And so then that's where we begin at. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. So in other words, they turned around, went back to the area where they had been chased out of, where Paul had been left for dead. And, you know, now you might have another thought on the matter. If you went into an area of a big city in America and you got the daylights beaten out of you and left for dead, you probably wouldn't be too quick to go back. But see, there was something. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were led by the Holy Spirit, and they had boldness from the Spirit of God. And so they went into, you know, the very places of darkness that was a threat. And it says, confirming the souls of the disciples, which is important, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, this is one of those favorite scriptures that, you know, you find a lot on tribulation, persecution. But the way this is put, this is the only place that it's put this way. So they're confirming the souls of the disciples, making sure that they're born again, making sure that they're okay, and exhorting them to continue in the faith no matter what they did with Paul, because that's one of the reasons they would have went back there. And that we must, there's the emphasis, through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now see, this, if you try that, search for that, through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, you're only going to find it in Acts 14:22. Now, you'll find other verses on persecution and trouble and tribulation, but nothing put like this. And so, as disciples and as believers, there is going to be tribulation in the world. And the Lord said, in the world, you will have tribulation. This, in Acts, is put, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So not only do we have tribulation in the world, that in order to get into the kingdom of God, there is a door of tribulation you must go through. The Lord said, you know, if they hate you, remember they hated me before they hated you. And now, today, we're in that part, I've mentioned it many times, 2 Thessalonians 2, about the gospel. And the love of the truth is the way it's put in, and that means the gospel. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So it's all of that truth, and God's going to send them a lie, you know, a false, he's called the son of perdition, allow him to show up. And so you have this way that for us in the end of days, that we see this a-coming. But in the world, there's a lot of believers already that are going through a lot of tribulation and have gone through a lot of tribulation. Having tribulation as a Christian is not new. It goes clear back to the beginning. But the thing that makes it different for us is that of all generations, the generation of the last of the last days, just before the coming of Christ, is going to have the great tribulation, and there will be no other time. It'll come like a snare upon the whole earth, and there will be no other generation or generations during any time period in history like this time period in history that will see as much tribulation and trouble and signs and all kinds of things happening in the earth. Now, this is likened when we get into Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, Isaiah speaks about this and says, the curse has devoured the earth. Now, while the world runs around, I seen the other day a picture of some woman, young woman, hugging a tree. And it was for an article someone had written. And the article was about, no, trees aren't real people. And you have a lot of greenies, as I call them, globalist greenies and global warming and a bunch of others. We'll go out and save the whales, but we'll commit abortion as often as we can. We'll kill babies. So we have no problem killing the babies, but we have a problem with baby dolphins. So we put... the context of human life on the side burner for our own lusts. And so these are all the things that we are concentrated with, get to know things that happen. And, of course, you have all of this coming together right now. And so you have many people that are going to say, well, it's because of the earth, it's because of carbon, it's because of this, it's because of that. And of course, the thing of it is, they're looking at, well, is it really warming up or is it doing this? Well, there's going to be a lot of things happening, but it isn't because of what you think it is. It's because of the curse that God had pronounced that was brought about because of the fall of man. It didn't just affect man, it affected the whole of creation. And that's why Scripture says that all the creation groaneth. And so all of this is happening right now. So if Paul and his people were told, if Paul was teaching them that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, and that's even what the Lord said when they asked him about Paul, that he was the one that had persecuted his church, and he said, he's my chosen vessel, I'm paraphrasing, and that I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake, and that's what Paul did. And so Paul was called to take this through in an area. He came from, respectability and power to turn against Judaism, more or less. And he said he didn't really turn against Judaism, because we can find him defending the law, that he says in the law, I've offended nobody. In other words, I kept it. So there's a lot of things. And of course, the people, the Gentile teachers in America, for a long time, have not liked that. When anytime you mention the law, they start having conniption fits, as we say. But at any rate, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And it's kind of interesting to see how many places they go to. And they're just, you call them traveling evangelists, and there was a number of them that were going. And Luke was traveling with him, Mark was with him, Barnabas was with him, and there was a few others. And especially when Paul got up into Rome, there was a number of them that was with him up there. In Acts 14:26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And so they come to Antioch. And, of course, that's returning to Antioch. And at the beginning of this, we were in Antioch. And they had been separated by the Holy Ghost to go do the work. So they're bringing back the report. And what you have here is him telling you everything that God had done, and that the door had been opened to the Gentiles, the door of faith. And of course, he's going to go back. He had three major trips, Paul did. And then, of course, the final trip he had to make was the one he had to go to Rome by ship. But, you know, this is really a breakthrough here, because the Jews really didn't want it. And the Jews shouldn't have. You know, the problem with the Jews is if this would have stayed with the Gentiles, the Jews wouldn't even have become involved. But because the people involved in it are Jews themselves, and one of them, the Apostle Paul, which was Shaul, or known as Paul to us, had been taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He had also been close to the high priest and all the others. In the Sanhedrin, I mean, he was well respected. And to turn from all that and suddenly preach the faith that he condemned and tried to destroy, you know, this brought a lot of the Jews out of the woodwork, because you had Peter and all the original disciples, which were Jews. You had Paul, which is a Jew, and now he's going to the Gentiles. They've had a huge church in Jerusalem, all of which would have been mainly Jewish, but there would have been proselytes around there. And then, of course, you went out of the area, and you would have found Gentiles. And of course, the Jews believed along the way, and then they came to a point where Paul just told him, you know, because they didn't want to listen. He says, okay, you count yourselves unworthy for the grace of God. I'm going to go to the Gentiles now, which is what he did. So this is a big deal here. But the thing of it is that, as I said, because it involved not just Gentiles, but Jews as well, the Jews themselves were up in arms because they were afraid. And that's the exact same thing that happened with the Lord, because they were afraid that all of the Roman Empire would start following this guy. You know, people were raised from the dead. You know, the high priest wasn't doing that. None of the rest of them were. And so they couldn't explain it. They couldn't deny that it happened. So they had to get rid of him, and they ended up getting rid of him. But now, of course, you've got the disciples, you've got the church growing. It's in the Roman Empire. It's growing leaps and pounds. They cannot stop this. It just seems to spread everywhere. And this is what Paul and all of them are rejoicing at, see? Because the message that Paul and all of them had was a message of death to the Jews, because they rejected it, and to others who don't believe. But to those who believed, it's a message of life, a savor of life and redemption. And so you have those two conflicting views. And of course, this follows them all the way through the book of Acts, and it goes all the way through the church history itself. And it follows you around wherever you go if you're a Christian. And that's just what it is, you know, Christianity. And I seen an article today where the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender crowd was so named by this one leader, had said, well, she was, I think it was a she, was actually trying to convince the atheists that they need to join forces with the LGBTQ crowd in order to stop the Christians. And so in America, we do have this problem. We have a lot of people in this country that hate Christianity and the growth of Christianity. Now, see, they don't hate Christianity per se, but they hate the way it's presented. There's churches today that openly accept the LGBTQ crowd, and of course, they'll even say it's okay, you can do those things and get into heaven. So this is really the issues in this particular thing. I don't get into that. You know, I go back to what the Lord said in the latter part of Revelation, and this is for the last days. He that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. For I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according his work shall be. We preach the word, we tell them the word. If they reject it, you know, that's all we can do. And remember, the word of God is the judge. And, you know, I don't hate people if they're LGBTQ. That's ridiculous. That's dumb. I've had friends that were that way. I've been around them, worked around them, you know, surprising. They got personalities. You'd think, you know, these are people that need the Lord. But I'm not going to put up with a church that has phonied out the word of God and has caved into what the truth really is. And that's exactly what has happened in these last days. And so this is the real problem we have in America and much of the known world, except for in the persecuted areas. So it's time to wake up. Now, we're in Acts 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, I can tell you exactly who this is. Now, they don't tell you. But see, the thing of it is, these were Jews. And this was one of the largest, the biggest problems. Well, there was Gnostic problems as well, higher knowledge, and a number of other things. But this, you know, getting in, you have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses in order to be part of that covenant. Now, that has nothing to do with redemption whatsoever. That's ridiculous. But that's what they were teaching. And, you know, because, see, this is the thing. They believed the Lord. And there was a bunch of Jews that would that came to the Lord. There was a bunch of them in Jerusalem. And there was followers that followed the Lord that were Jews, and they believed in who he was. But the thing of it is you can't get them away from the law. And so they put this in there, except you be circumcised. And of course, you know, there are people today that say, you know, various parts of the law have to be fulfilled before you get to be saved. Well, you know, there's only one thing that you have to do that has anything to do with the law. And I can tell you what it is. It's called the law of faith. And if you can't follow the law of faith, you can't be saved. Yeah, that's true. And the law of faith, and you can actually find this in Scripture. You're not going to, but it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, there you go. You need faith. You can't please God. Period. That's a law. You know, that concerns God. And it tells you why in this. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Very, very simple verse. But see, if you can't believe in God, if you can't believe that he exists, if you can't believe that he's a rewarder and he will do things, and can't believe that he sent his only begotten son, you can't be saved. There's no way. You can't believe in something if you don't believe it's there. And so that's where the problem comes in at, you know. For we are saved by grace through faith. Grace comes out of God's mercy. Mercy came out of God's love for us. But see, still, you know, without God's love, without his mercy, we wouldn't have the grace extended to us, which is his favor, as well as the ability for us to get to believe and understand. And one of the reasons we can believe is because he sent his only begotten son so that we might believe upon him. Because it's hard to believe in a God if he never shows up. But this God decided that he would send his son down in fleshly form to walk on this earth, to bring us a message, and to have witnesses that would fulfill the law by two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. And so you go from there, and that's how come today we can get saved by grace through faith. Because we believe, and we believe by the efforts of God through the Holy Spirit and the coming of his son. Now, you see, the thing of it is it has nothing to do at all with circumcision. Not at all. And it doesn't have anything to do with all the major laws that the Jews would like to put on it. Now, there are messianics, and they believe in keeping things. Now, the Lord himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's a lot of commandments. The top one is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbors yourself. Love is called the royal law, which fulfills all the law. And if you walk in love, nothing can disannul it. And so these are some of the things that you need to know. Now, see, Paul is going to take it up with these Jews because they're screwing up the grace of God. And he says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. Now, see, this was said, had no small dissension and disputation or dispute. In other words, let's just put it in American English. They got together with him and they argued with him. They told him the word. They told him to stop. And it was no small disputation. In other words, it was two opposing forces and it was like hell meeting heaven. I mean, it was just massive. Nothing got solved. So it says, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem under the apostles and elders about this question. Now, you see, the thing of it is here is that these Jews that would have brought this very well could have been honest, you know, thinking this is truly what you had to do. And they were probably taught this from someone else. But that does not mean anything other than they were taught wrong. And of course, now they're trying to figure out what to do. Now, see, and this, of course, tells you again that when you're dealing in church doctrine, when you're dealing in what the truth is, sometimes you have dissension and arguments in order to get the truth. Because you have the truth, but they don't want to hear the truth, and the other people think they have the truth, and they know you're not going to listen. So, but see, in this case, Paul and Barnabas were the ones with the truth, and the circumcision was one of those things that crept in continually in the early church, along with Gnostic behavior. And Acts 15:3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. So they were going through there, and all the brethren would have been gathered. You know, in each one of the cities, they would come through there. And, of course, the Lord went through Samaria, and that's where he talked with the Samaritan woman. And, of course, you know, this is the great thing about it, is that God is reaching out to them now, that Gentiles can come to faith. It's not just about the Jews having their own faith, but the Gentiles have faith. The Gentiles can come to God. And now there's a way. There's somebody to teach them. They never had it. Now, you and I are on the back end of this. And as Gentiles, we've caught the wave. We are on the latter end, or the, you know, from the day of Pentecost, we are in the latter end, in the latter days. And so the big wave of the church is already come and gone. And we are in the end of days where there is going to be a falling away. 2 Thessalonians tells us that. But then we also have a part that there is going to be you know, remnant in the last days. There is going to be a move of God. And we have, and of course, we report on that. We, you know, concerning various other faiths that are coming to the Lord right now from overseas. And so you may look in America and see us kind of staggering, or look in Europe and see the church kind of weakening. But if you look around the world, you know, like we've said for forever, you know, the most Christians is not in America, it's not in Europe. The biggest Christian nation on earth is actually China, because of the house churches. And then if you go into how big nations are, China, of course, is one of the most populous. It was the most populous, and then India surpassed them. And then I think India lost that, and then China caught up. I'm not sure where it is, but both India and China are the two most populous nations on Earth, which are going to figure very big in the end of days, because the armies of the East are going to move, and India, China, Japan, North Korea, South Korea, a lot of these would signify the armies of the East, the armies of the Sun coming from the Sun. And they're going to go down to Jerusalem, and of course they're going to meet the Antichrist. We're going to the beast who will have set himself up in Israel at the time, and of course you got so much of this stuff going on, and so you know we are in this day and age, and so as we go through this and we're talking about the problems that Acts has. And we're looking at how the gospel was spread and how the Lord honored them. And we see miracles and signs and wonders, people coming to the Lord. We see the Holy Ghost moving in the lives of God's people. We see angelic appearances. All of these things are things that we need to take note of, because God is able to continue to do this. And when you get in this time of the son of perdition, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, or as the beast that John speaks about in Revelation 18, there comes a time when the nations are going to be subdued. They're going to be controlled. You're not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark. So you're going to need supernatural intervention in order to get through. The Bible says, unless the Lord should shorten the days, there would be no flesh left alive. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. See, that's supernatural intervention into the affairs of all those on the earth. In order to keep flesh alive, they're going to be destroyed. And then in Revelation it says, when the Lord does come, he's going to destroy those who destroy the earth. So if you wonder that, you know, we look at Kim Jong-un threatening with nukes, and we see Iran threatening with war, and Russia saying they've got the mother of all bombs now. See, the Lord is going to judge people who destroy the earth. And people, we have enough bombs here to totally, absolutely annihilate the planet. There won't be nothing left alive if these people ever get to going to blows. Just no way. Now, they're not going to blow up the planet. But there's enough figures of speech and word in Revelation to give us this thing that there will be nuclear weapons being used in this time. So God help us. You better get to the Lord and stay with him, man. I'm telling you. And of course, in 15:3, and being brought on their way by the church, we did that. Let's go to 15:4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Now, of course, you know, today, billions of people pay attention when the Pope, El Papa, talks. He's with the Roman church. Make no mistake, I said that on purpose, the Roman church. Remember, your Lord died on the cross, and the early church was where? In Jerusalem, the center of the earth. That's what we call it, Jerusalem, the center of the earth. And it's this center where everything's going to take place for the end of days. The devil wants Jerusalem. And so, you know, this thing's going to come to blows. I mean, sooner or later. It just is. But see, this is the true church. Okay? Now, if you think the true church is in Rome, or let me put it another way, if you think the true church is in Salt Lake City, or if you think the true religion and faith is in Mecca, or some other place, then you're going to be really surprised, because it ain't. And actually, when we talk about the kingdom of God is within us because of the Spirit of God which dwells in us. And where the Spirit of God is and dwells in us, and as we are born again, when we put off this flesh, our spirit will live yet, because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Remember, the Lord said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's where we're standing. So make sure who you serve here. And that's important. Now see, you know, I don't hate the Pope and don't hate him in Rome, but I'm not going to change my, word of God and my thinking just to be accepted of people that have changed the whole thing. And of course, it doesn't mean that you can't start a church in Rome. Doesn't mean that at all. But whenever they start telling you that the church is, and the true church and the true faith is here in this place or in that place, or when they begin to tell you that the Lord has appeared over there or over here and stuff like that, don't go. That's what the Lord says. Don't go when they tell you that I'm over there. I'm not over there. There is a sign that's coming. And so at any rate, we're coming down to... if you can believe it, the end of first hour. And what we're going to do is get off of here so we can just keep this an hour long, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, with hour two. And it'll be broadcast on Spreaker right after this one. We do this in order to make it easy to download and to listen to. So we wanted to limit that because this is going out through our Warren Radio Network, going through a number of various partners who stream this, and it's going around the world. People today, because of technology, can literally listen around the world, and we've made it to where they can listen on their smartphones, their laptops, and everything else. So stay with me. We're going to be back in a few minutes.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, April 19th, 2018, and you are listening to Warren Radio. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar, where we will continue with part 6 of Noach, Prophecy, and the End of Days. And now I welcome back the Watchman for hour 2.
Okay, and we're getting right into it.
Of Dunamis, part 9.
We are in Acts 15. In verse 4, Paul and Barnabas and everybody that was with him, they have come to Jerusalem. They were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they were telling them everything that God had done. Well, in verse 5 it tells you the problem. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, of course, this would have been normal for the Pharisees, because the new covenant totally is different than what the Pharisees had been taught. And it says in verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. It's hard to believe that you know, that it was this much of a problem, but it was. And of course, again, the separation is the fact of keeping the law of Moses. And, of course, circumcising them had to do with the covenant given to Abraham. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Not by the law, but by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? This had to do with keeping the law of Moses. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And of course, that's literally what it was about. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among them, among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James the Less, the son of Alphaeus, answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take them out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build up again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now here I'm going to give you what it says in Amos 9:11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. And that's the fulfillment of which he's talking about. And in Acts 15 then, he goes on to say that the residue of men quoted from the Septuagint in the Greek, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and I'll give you that in a minute, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth these things. Now see, this is a direct quote out of the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament. It's always been considered as one of the finest translations of the Old Testament there is. Now in Amos 9:11-15. Now see, this is God's doing. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and will raise up his ruins, and I'll build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, and drink the wine thereof, and they also shall make gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord God. And now, in verse 18 it says, Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning of the world. Verse 19, Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. And so what you have is, you have the Gentiles then coming to the Lord, the same as the Jews who come to the Lord, that they believe God. And here the Gentiles are urged to abstain from the pollutions of idols, fornication, strangled things, and from blood. These are the basics that was given to the Gentiles that they should do in order to keep them away from these unclean things. And he goes on to say, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. And it goes on to say, forasmuch as we have heard that certain went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Now you see, here's the unity. And that's exactly what needed to happen. There was authority and unity, and men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, I really like this verse, because when you talk about trustworthy and chosen men, and this is important for ministry. You know, you don't get in the ministry just because you may have come out of school and you got a degree to preach. You're not deemed good, you're not deemed chosen, you're not deemed proven until you prove yourself. And that means in the time of Acts, they hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, as a result of them be willing to walk in areas where they get beaten and left for the dead like Paul was, they saw miracles and signs and wonders. People came to the Lord and repented of their sins. Now, this is how it works. And so when you're looking for people that are worthy, it's people that work, continue to work in that position, whatever it is, and prove themselves over a course of time that they are faithful. And in this case, if you're looking for people that know something about it, it's people that have actually hazarded their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been beaten and put in prison and stuff. And in India, and as well in China, a lot of the leaders of the church have spent a long, long time in China, in prison. And in India, many of them face persecution. Now in verse 27, we have sent therefore Silas and or Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now I like this when it says it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. Remember, the Spirit of God is within us. And when you're walking in times of fasting and unity, you can hear the Spirit of God. You can hear and know this guidance from within. And they're confirming the guidance, because they didn't want to lay any greater burden upon them, but they also know this is what the Holy Ghost didn't want to lay anything upon them. And he says that you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fairly well. Now, meats offered to idols, this has to do with serving another god. You shall have no other gods before me. And when you talk about from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. Blood especially has a lot to do with you know, the sanctity of the blood, and it was through the blood, and it's in the law that it was the blood that was chosen as atonement would be made. And it's also through that blood, if innocent blood shed, it has to be justified. It has to be made up for. Otherwise, the blood that shed will stain the ground with a curse. And things strangled and from fornication. And, of course, you can get into the teachings of Paul. And all of the apostles constantly told the early church that they need to walk in a manner fitting their faith, not walk as the Gentiles used to do, going into all of these various parties, you know, in the Roman kingdom. And they had their gods set up there, and they would start drinking and getting drunk and eating foods dedicated to this idol. And they would have all kinds of sex and illicit stuff and fornication. There's a word for it. It's called bacchanalia, that actually got so, it really did get bad. So these kind of things are things that, you know, that's what you used to do. That's not what you do now. And so in 15:30 it says, "So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." Now, see, so here's some more prophets. It's good. You find prophets throughout Acts. "And after they had tarried a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." And so you can see that unity. You know, they had a problem, people coming down saying you had to, be circumcised. But also there was more to it than that when the rest of the Pharisees came around. They wanted them to keep the law of Moses. So this would have stirred the Gentiles and caused tremendous trouble for these new believers. And, of course, they wanted to settle it. They wanted to get them rooted in the faith. And, of course, when this finally got settled and the unity and the leadership was there, they brought that leadership to bear, and, it comforted the people. And, of course, it became such an event or a comfort and a fellowship that Silas wanted to stay there. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." So Paul wants to go back. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with him to the work. And so here again, we were talking about, who is steadfast, those who stayed there. Now, it says here again, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria, Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, so here you have another division. You have a contention. And of course, you might say, well, you know, if this was the Spirit of God and everything going, why do you have contentions? Well, you know, there's called human nature. There's this thing that Paul was not going to go with someone that actually had left them. Now, see, Barnabas may not have thought that was a big deal. And so he didn't have any problem at all taking John Mark because he felt John Mark would be faithful. Paul didn't. Paul went according to, you know, he left us and I don't want him around. I want to depend on someone I know is going to be there. And so Paul decided to go with Silas, and he hadn't been with Silas. He only knew Silas, I mean, that we know of, you know, this last trip up to Jerusalem. Now, he may have known Silas from before, but, you know, Paul and Silas, you know, in Acts, it's well known that they were together. And, of course, John Mark, you know, John Mark did prove himself. But, see, these things happen. And it all comes under this point of forgive and forget. You know, you forgive each other. You know, it's not personal. It's just, that's the way it is. I don't believe that. I can't take him because he left us and the other one didn't see a problem and they couldn't reckon that. So they just decided, well, then you take John Mark and I'll take Silas. Oh, that'll work. And the way they went. And this doesn't mean that Paul hated Barnabas or Barnabas hated Paul. It just means that you have to come to some kind of an agreement here. And so that's what they did. And, of course, they would have left it there. They wouldn't have, you know, spent a lot of time, you know, you know, worrying about it. I mean, you get this thing, you know, figured out. You get it done with. You solve the issue and boom, that's it. So now we're in Acts 16. And Paul begins his second missionary journey with Silas. And of course, he happens to come across Timothy or Timotheus. It's interesting that Timothy actually, you know, that's where we have 1st and 2nd Timothy. And it's interesting to see this because you can see how things worked. You know, they're on their second missionary journey. And let's follow this. In Acts 16:1, then came he, Paul, with Silas to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So this would have been like what many of the Samaritans would have been. You're part Gentile and you're part Jew. You're not just 100% in one corner. But his father was Greek here. And whenever we look at a Greek, now his father probably really was Greek. But today when we look at Greek, we think of Gentiles because you have the Jews and you have the Gentiles. In 2 Timothy 1, 4 through 5, we can see a little glimpse here. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I called to remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am also persuaded that in thee also. Now see, that's in Timothy. And that's after Paul came to know Timothy. Unwavering faith was in his grandmother and his mother. Now his father probably didn't believe. But his mother, and she was a Jewess, but she believed. So she believed in the new Messiah. She believed in this. And she probably believed because she believed in God anyway, and God revealed it to her. But at any rate, so we see this. And this is where, in this second missionary journey, we find Timothy hooking up with the Apostle Paul and Silas and getting in the midst of the whole shebang here. In verse 2 it says, which was well reported to thy brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And they're reporting of the fact of Timotheus and his mother. And so they all knew of him. And verse 3, him would Paul have to go with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And unto the Jews, and 1 Corinthians 9:20, it says, unto the Jews I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews, Paul says. But, you know, here Paul had Timothy circumcised, while in the same token, the last time Paul and Barnabas fought with the disciples, you know, some of those who believed, because they wanted to circumcise them. And Paul, you know, did have a problem with it. But see, Paul's not circumcising him in order to get him to be saved. Now see, the other ones we're talking about, you had to be circumcised, you know. And also, when he got to Jerusalem, the Pharisees said not only circumcision, but to keep the law of Moses in order to be to know the Lord, to be part of the faith. Now, that's not true. Now, see, Paul isn't making those delineations here. He just did this because of the Jews and because of the fact that they knew that his father was a Greek. Therefore, they would have had problems having Timothy come into the area, talk to him, and anything else. So Paul had to make it easier on Timothy to be able to come in there. And in Acts 16:4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in the number daily. And, you know, you notice here that as they went through, they were going through cities. There were little groups and pockets of believers everywhere. But yet, they were established in the faith by the apostles. And which would mean they would go through with teachings, encouragement, prayers. There would have been gifts of the Spirit. There would have been things happening. And so they were, you know, established. They were rooted, becoming rooted. And their numbers began to multiply. And so then you have this multiplication that's going on as the gospel goes out. And this is in the very beginning of it. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, see, I find this really, really interesting. Because they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Do not go and preach the word in Asia at all. And so I find this interesting. And on a couple of counts, and this is because we're not talking about man's wisdom. We're talking about supernatural direction. The Holy Ghost let them know in no uncertain terms that they were not to go preach the word in Asia. That was it. And then it says, and after they were come to Mysia, M-Y-S-I-A, they essayed to go or wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, of course, here again you have, no, don't go there. And see, what we have is a direction, an inward direction by the Spirit of God as to where you go and where you don't go. Now, see, I'm getting to a point here, and that is that, you know, in dealing with the persecuted church overseas, I have had reports from people that were in these situations that had it told to them by the people involved. And it's been reported as well by groups that report on this stuff and help the believers, that pastors, you know, in Africa, for instance, parts of Africa, they they find this happening where, you know, there was persecution that was so great, they wouldn't even tell anybody where the service would be. And the people had to fast and pray in order to hear the Spirit so they'd know where to go to the service. And the pastor said that, and that's what they regularly did. And he says, and we knew the people that would show up were directed of God to be there, and they were true believers. And I've heard testimonies from pastors over there as well that said that, you know, we were warned not to go there because they were going to be waiting for us. And, of course, we, you know, it's so important to understand that. You know, it seems like today we get all caught up here. We get to thinking that, you know, you're just going to go blindly and you're going to get caught and get killed and all this other stuff, when in reality there is this place that you can be that the Holy Spirit directs you and helps you. And see, this, when I talk of the remnant, when I talk of angelic help and intervention, when I talk of the Spirit of God giving you direction, these are the things that I'm directing you to. Because when things get really, really bad around the world, in your area, or in America, yes, it's really, really bad, but that doesn't mean God has stopped working. And that's where you need to fast. That's where you need to pray. That's where you need to seek the Lord. And don't leave until you get direction. Now see, well, I don't get direction. Well, then you need to pray harder and believe harder. Because we know from the Word of God, that's one witness. We know from other testimonies of pastors that this has happened too. The Lord can direct your steps. Trust in the Lord with all your might. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's in the Old Testament. So make no mistake about it. You know, that's where we want to be. We want to be in this point that while the rest of the world thinks they've got us, we have the Spirit of God who directs us. Now, we don't know why, but the timing wasn't right. It wasn't time to go into these areas. And in verse 8 it says, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now you see, when I look at this in the context, I see this is the reason why the Spirit of God did not want them to go somewhere else. Because there were other people in another area that it was urgent. They really wanted them to come on over and see them. And this is being directed to the Spirit of God according to the need and the emergency. So this is important here. The fact that Paul got a vision, another supernatural intervention, it was a vision. And of course, this all tells you the direction. This tells you why. It doesn't come out and tell you, you know, well, this is absolutely the reason, but in the context it tells us that the Spirit of God didn't want them to go anywhere else because there was somewhere else that people needed help and they were praying, and after all, it's through prayer. They wanted someone to come help them. In verse 10 it says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now, you look at that. They went through Troas, Thracia, Neapolis, Philippi, Macedonia. I mean, they went through five cities. And they're not going to take a plane. You know, they have to take a boat, and if they were going, any other way, they would either have to walk or take a ride somewhere, And so in verse 13 of chapter 16, it says, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." And of course, they're down by the river, and that's where they met Lydia. "And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." And of course, where's your churches at? They were gathering down by the river. And that's where they all gathered. And of course, it was easy. I mean, if the women are going to wash their clothes and all the stuff for their family, that's where they would be, down by the river. So they just would go down there by the river, and they might have been doing the clothes and then have a little prayer meeting to boot. But nevertheless, she had attended unto things that had been spoken of Paul. By now the word of mouth about Paul the Apostle preaching this would have gotten quite a ways, because he had already been in his first missionary journey, a lot of things going on, and he had people that were after him. He had people that believed. There was miracles and signs going on. And they would have known that he used to persecute this this faith, and then now he preaches it. There had to be a life-changing experience. So all this stuff would have been flowing, through that whole part of the countryside. And of course, we're going to talk about this woman, damsel with the spirit of divination or soothsaying. And that is where they connect with a spirit to foretell future events. Now, people can actually do that, but there's a lot of false stuff involved in this. The spirit of divination, of course, is a spirit, it's a deceiving spirit, a familiar spirit. It definitely can be a demonic spirit. If it was a demonic spirit, it'd really, really be dark. You don't find them without having major trouble. I mean, they're the kind that, you go in the presence of them, it's dark, very dark, very evil. But you can have someone with the spirit of divination that actually seems friendly and like a light, like they know something. And they're non-threatening. It's a way to attract you to darkness through a little light, but it's the wrong kind of light. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Now, of course, you are in the Roman Empire, and there are slaves. So she had masters, which put her as the slave. And of course, here, you always hear about brothels and everything else and selling your slave woman for sex and getting money for her, but she brought in money by soothsaying. "And the same followed Paul and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, now this is verse 18, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Scripture tells us that this woman had a spirit of divination. And so she's telling everybody that the servant of the Most High God, and she was able to walk around with them, and it would appear to the people then that Paul and them felt that she was of the true and living God because she recognized who they were. But for some reason, Paul allowed this to go on for several days, or actually it says many days. And it got to the point that he actually became grieved, and it says, and recognized the spirit that was heralding who they were. Now see, he didn't recognize this at all at first, for some reason. These are deceiving spirits. And maybe you don't think about it, but after a while, when this thing wouldn't shut up, he realized what this spirit was, and it grieved him to the point that he cast the spirit out of the woman. Now, when you're dealing with these kind of spirits, you know, you can be around people that can have a spirit and a knowledge, and you don't really know that these are spirits of divination all the time. When we think of soothsaying, we think of, you know, the fortune telling and the cards and, you know, divining through various means, looking into a crystal ball. They have a lot of different ways that they can divine. And, of course, they can sit there and call the spirits in and sit around a table. So there's a lot of ways. And when I see anything that doesn't follow the gospel, I immediately rebuke it. I don't mess around with any kind of spirits at all. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the Son of God and the Father. I don't mess around with these things, and I don't mess around with people who have these things. And, you know, you got to be very careful when we're talking about these things, that you don't allow yourself to come in contact with these things. Now, they, in the name of Jesus, you have the power just to get rid of them. And that is to stop them from bothering you. That's one thing. In order to cast them out, you need to be fasted and prayed. And so Paul here, after a while, and of course this is one thing about some of these unclean spirits, and that's what this one was, unclean, is that once they start this, they just keep repeating it over and over and over again. I mean, they never leave it up because they're an unclean spirit. That's what they do. And, of course, the fact that she could actually walk with him, not seem grieved herself, but actually appear to be of God, simply because she's saying these men are the servants of the Most High God. But see, Scripture tells us that the devils, you know, believe, and yet they tremble. You know, many of the devil would recognize the Lord ahead of time. The demoniac, for instance, you know. But see, in your life, dealing with people every day, you may not know what spirit it is that in it. Now, I can tell you, there's a lot of Americans a day that have unclean spirits. And I'm talking about an evil, unclean spirit. They can take many different forms, many different shapes, many different appetites of lust. You don't want anything to do with these people. You got to be very, very careful. Now in Acts 16:19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Now, of course, this is, you know, she was their bread and butter. And when Paul rebuked the spirit, cast it out, well, she couldn't do it anymore. And she probably repented right there and believed on the Lord. And so they went and found Paul and Silas. They were going to teach them a lesson. And verse 20, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, you know, this is the difference between the gospel in Acts and the gospel being preached today in America. You know, we, for the most part, the churches stop preaching the gospel in America. They teach everything that you could think of, but they don't teach the gospel. Overseas, people go all the time in many areas and preach the gospel. And they run into the same opposition. In India, they can preach the gospel in various places. And they're, you know, it's dangerous. In Pakistan, however, you can't preach anything because you're so outnumbered. You are actually the one targeted most of the time and wind up killed or in prison. And a lot of times they just trump up charges against you. In Iran, they're not allowed to do anything and certainly not allowed to meet. And of course, we see this. And so then when you look in America, and in the UK and a lot of other places that we're supposed to have freedom of religion, we have corrupted the gospel for the most part. And if we do preach it at all, it's corrupted. And we certainly don't preach holiness. And so there's a lot of things we don't do. And this gospel is going to go and be preached in these last days, whether you like it or not. And it's going to be preached. And it's going to go into all the world and being preached. And that's all there is to it. And then the end shall come. And so, you know, the nations ain't going to like it. The lukewarm churches ain't going to like it. The whore church isn't going to like it. You know, the Muslims and others ain't going to like it. The liberal leaders ain't going to like it. There is a lot of people that oppose the truth of the gospel. And by the time we get done fully understanding Paul's warning in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says the world will reject the love of the truth. That's exactly where we're at now. They're working on that. That isn't completely finalized and full, but it's in the process of being completed. And so, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, of course, if you're in jail and you've been beaten and you're into the inner prison, which is the, you know, the one where all the bad guys go, you know. They put you in there because you're the bad guy. Oh, God, does that bring back memories? I could tell you a few stories there. And they made their feet fast in the stocks, so they're, you know, they ain't going to run away. Well, Paul, what do you want to do, says Silas. Paul looks at Silas, and they remembered a couple of psalms and said, well, let's sing a couple of psalms. So they started singing, and before they knew it, the Spirit of God fell, and here they are, singing and having church in the inner prison. Their feet is fast in the stocks. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, but they're singing and having church. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were loosed, were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Well, see, we know what happened here. The Lord said, well, you know, Paul and Silas, you're praising me in a real good manner. So I'm going to make sure you can get up and you can just stomp around and just have a grand old time down there in that prison. And I'm going to show these heathen that you're my servants. So there's a great earthquake, and guess what? It didn't kill Paul or Silas. Now listen, this was a big earthquake. The foundations of the prison are shaken. All the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Now, how often do you see an earthquake taking off chains or bands that's holding you? Never, okay? The only time we see the bands being loose is, for instance, in the example of Peter, when he was in there and there was an angel who loosed him. So these are angels down there, and they're loosing the bands, and everything's being shook. And I wonder if this would have even happened if Paul and Silas hadn't just started praying. They'd been beaten. They'd been thrown in prison like they're criminals. And instead of saying, well, you bunch of jerks, what do you think you're doing? You know, and all this. They just sat in there, and they're in the will of God. That's why they didn't do it. The Spirit of God had filled them. They knew. And so they just sit there. They were peaceful. They loved God, and he blessed them. So then in verse 27, the keeper of the prison is having a nightmare. He wakes out of his sleep. The prison doors are open. He drew out his sword because, you know, in those days, if your prisoners fled, you're going to die. So you just, instead of having the king do it, you just kill yourself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now see, God wanted to save the jailer and his family. And he was also going to teach everybody a lesson. This is about teaching people a lesson. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, where did he get that? This was a miracle to this jailer. He didn't have to undo their bonds. You know, they were still in the inner prison, but the doors were open. Everybody, you know, everybody was loosed. Nobody was hurt, but the foundations of the prison itself were shaken to the core. You know, this isn't just some little tremor here. And so he knew something happened. And he knew what these two were in here for. And he was ready to kill himself. He is ready to meet eternity because he knew that they fled. But they stayed right there because they're interested in souls and helping. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him of the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, Let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, And the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Now we're going to pick up with that next time. But, you know, we're always talking about the end of days and how bad it is. And you know, things do get that bad. You know? But when you see the way God moved in these scriptures. Now, of course, you've got to believe. You know, if you're not going to believe, then I don't know what to tell you. But see, the thing of it is, you know, put yourself where we're at today. With all the problems that where we're at. You know, this God is able to make a difference. And that's the wagon that I want to hitch to, if you catch my drift. That's the wagon. I want to believe that God is able to do these things. I want to believe that when they come after you, God can do miracles and signs and wonders. I want to believe that when they get your name down in the computer database, that God can erase it. He can get your name lost in there. He can open up the jail cell. He can remove the shackles. He can make a way where there is no way. See, if you get in this mindset that many get into, you know, that God doesn't do anything, you know, you're going to die. And of course, it's up to you. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, for watching over us, Lord. Bless your word to those who hear it whenever they hear it, Lord. Bless the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this prayer time, from all those who hear it. Amen.
Amen. Boy, I want to see those times, Dana.
I know.
Things like that happen. That's exciting.
It is exciting. You know? I mean, you can believe whatever you believe, but...
Well, I want to see those kind of things happen because I think they will. I believe they will.
I believe they will, too, and I think they're happening right now.
I do, too, and the more persecution ramps up, the more this kind of stuff, you see the more of the work of God, I believe.
You do. And I just love this series for that.
Oh, I know.
Because we can put ourselves in it, we can learn a lot. You can just see where the Spirit of God is moving.
It's amazing.
It is, and you know, I, for one, I've chosen to believe, folks. And that's what I'm going to believe.
Amen.
Period. Fear never did anything except kill you. But faith, yeah, faith will deliver you.
It's the overcoming power.
Yep. we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, good night, everybody. We love you. We appreciate you. We pray for you, and we thank you for all you do for the King of Kings. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar, Part 6 of the Noach Prophecy and End of Days. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.